the Waka 100 Podcast, brought to you by Team CP. The Waka 100, the largest and toughest one-day mountain bike marathon you'll ever do.
Turn on the weather for us. I'm just looking for some legs. Can you show me some legs?
Everyone's running good. Running good, looking good too.
Now, let's send it over to Team CP.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome back to season number three of our Waka 100 podcast specials, episode number four, and tonight's Waka 100 podcast is brought to you by their naming rights sponsor, Isuzu. Great to have Isuzu Utes New Zealand on board, and of course, as always, it's great to have Richard Greer side by side with me.
Yeah, good job, Angus. Good to be back and talking Waka. That's a great little intro, isn't it? Enjoy that jump at the end and just get you fizzed up for riding in Rotorua, doesn't it?
Get you absolutely hyped. I mean, I was just trying to work out, do you want to lead in now with the photo of you in the creek? Or do you want to save that later? Seems to be we do it every day, every time.
Yeah, most times. Yeah, I was just wondering on how long is it's going to, when's it going to wear thin? I'm sort of thinking 15 years or so. I've probably got as a lifespan of that.
Maybe we put it this way. It happened at the Waka 100. Maybe it's got 100 episodes worth of goodness out of
it. Yeah, that's right. So we'll keep turning up. We'll have another crack at it this year. I'm just going to do the 50 this year. So I wonder if that's going to make my creek jump worse because I'll be more fizzed up about it rather than just sort of tiredly sort of rolling off the end of it like I did in the miler last year.
Yeah, well, I look forward to actually the day before you do the 50 to go and see your session in it. I'm sure you're going to go and session it and see if you can get it down pat.
No, you're not allowed to do that, eh? It's just wait and see and send it. But the shootout, what's it called? The Friday night option. We'll have to go and have a crack at that.
The eliminator. Line up the eliminator.
Well, I think you'll have to.
Bike, Rich. I'm packing a bike.
It's up your alley. Like you do really well over like 90 seconds. You go great over 90 seconds.
I was going to say I'm packing a bike, but I'm also packing about 15 kilos too much as well. So
I've heard it slightly downhill, Roger, though. I think you should be fine.
Roger. Hey, mate, well, you never know what's going to happen there, right? Like we're there, we're going to be there at the Waka 100 this year. We're going to have some fun. And we're going to share some awesomeness and have some fun with everybody out on course and around about throughout the weekend.
Absolutely, absolutely. And on that, sharing some fun, you'd love to hear your feedback during the show. So feel free to comment. We see those come up live. So we'll ask our guests those questions as they come up. So if you've got any questions, just feel free to join us and ask us as we go. We're an open book and we're looking forward to sharing.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And we've got a giveaway to Isuzu Utes have kindly donated our lucky listeners. We've got an entry for two to the Wairiki, is it? Their restorative journey package worth $220. So how about get on the screen, type us a message, do something, and go in the draw for a bit of a restorative journey.
Yeah, that sounds
relaxing.
Sounds like something that we probably would need after that. And we do, these prizes are real. We give them away. Last podcast we had Tuned Rotorua on board, and there was a half-day one-on-one coaching clinic with Lewis Hamilton. And this guy is going to be really excited to do this. He's been learning to ride his bike. He's turning up for the 100K event. And so it's Ben Jordan coming over from Sydney, especially for the event. So he's going to be pretty fizzed up about that.
Well, he's bound to need it. He's an English Australian, really, isn't he?
So, yes.
He's already -3 by the before he even starts.
Did I say? I don't say that. It's different. Are we live?
He's starting my house system? No, because we're going to Rotorua. Okay, I'm safe. I'm good.
Yeah. Good job. So, tell us about our guests, Angus.
Mate, we have got a cracker of a lineup. Well, let's actually talk about the podcast actually first. Tonight, episode four, of course, as we said, is all about mental toughness. It's an absolute journey, the Waka 100, the 100 mile, the 50, the 25. Doesn't matter what you're doing. There is a journey to be had, and there is some mental toughness that will come along as you deal with the day, the heat, getting tired, the trails, lots to deal with there and lots to process, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, it's a job of concentrating as well, isn't it? Like, you, it just keeps coming at you, and you need to keep eating and drinking and doing all those things to allow you to focus on what you need to focus on, so you can keep having a smile on your face, and you can make sure you keep all your teeth into the finish line as well, and you don't lose any of those. So yeah, it's about getting through the tough times, but also making sure you enjoy the event as well. And that's what mental toughness is all about.
Yeah, 100%. Now, okay, so who have we got on tonight? Well, we've got an absolute cracker of a lineup. We're going to finish the show. Actually, where did my notes go here? There, Richard, I've just lost a bit. Scott Bowden, yes, from Australia. He's joining us from Tasmania. He did say pre-show, do I know where Tasmania is? So I managed to tick that box, Richard. He says Tasmania is the forgotten island of Australia there. So to all you Tassies that may be watching, big shout out. Who else we got there? We got the Maori mountain biker on again. Tomo, he's joining us. Always good to have him on. He's such a character out there. And in fact, I've been watching a few videos of some trails that, if you've been watching the Waka 100 social medias, Tomo's been on there and giving us the Maori version and the rundown of what the trails and the names and whatnot. An absolute media superstar he is now.
Yeah, absolutely. He's been doing a great job. And we're going to kick off with Jason English. So he's been pretty busy riding his bike recently. What do we got? He's done all sorts of different things. 24-hour solo win in April 2023. You've probably been watching
I'm sure Jason will correct us. But, you know, at last count I had was he's like 7-time Wimbo world champion. So world endurance mountain bike, 24-hour champion, 29 consecutive 24-hour wins to his name. He's 13-time national champion with 24-hour races, marathons. You know, this guy is an endurance legend. I did actually toe the start line with him once back in 2013. My only Wimbo Canberra. It was at Mount Stromlo. And in fact, the owner of Enduro Events, the Waka 100, Tim Farmer, we were all there together and started our endurance journey together. So a big welcome to Jason. Come in, Jace.
Hi, Angus. Hi, Richard. Thanks for inviting me on.
Yeah,
no problem.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming. You were just hanging your bike up before when all these other guys are all sitting in the background in their comfy chairs and things. But, mate, you were only just getting home on the bike.
Yeah, we run weekly coaching, so we've got probably 40 or 50 kids that we were coaching this afternoon, and so madly, scooted down the hill, hung the bike up, and here we are, still with a coaching kit on, ready to roll. Let's talk the Waka. This is such a good event. This is one of the highlights of the year. I'm absolutely pumped to come back again.
So have you done it before? Tell us your previous experience.
Yeah, I've ridden it a couple of times in the 100-kilometer sprint distance, I'd like to call. But now it's like Tim's deliberately put this event on 2 weeks before the 24-hour world champs. And so there's actually going to be a couple of guys that are gunning for that 24-hour world champs coming across to race in the 100-miler. So it's going to be a bit of a preview, I feel, of how things are going to play out a couple of weeks later. We're looking at, 7 hours of racing, but it's going to be 7 hours of racing, I think, very, very hard. So perfect timing.
Yeah, good. So just a wee, that's almost a sprint as well, is it? Do we put that under the sprint banner?
7 hours, yeah. I'm considering bringing the hardtail. It's not even worth pulling out the jewelry for that. It'd be, we'll see. We'll see. I'm still deciding.
Yeah, good. So what's the goals? What are you trying to do by turning up here? Is it the W, the win?
Well, that's the thing. Like 100-miler, originally I was like, oh, there can't be too many people that will be able to stay with me for the 100-miler. And then I've seen at least three names where I'm like, oh my goodness, if I can get fourth, I'm going to be doing really, really well in this event. So it's good that this particular race has such a depth of quality. And for 100-miler, you rarely see that. You normally see that the big guns will go for that 100-kilometer event, which it often doubles as one of your national level events as well. So, you know, you're always getting your top riders from New Zealand, but it's definitely gaining a bit of traction internationally.
Yeah, nice. And like in terms of performance of that marathon racing, it's pretty tough. Like it obviously includes lots of time on the bike, but tell us a bit about sort of some of the key training sessions that you do to look to prepare for race day. Like have you got like a key workout that you do prior just to go, yep, I've got it and I'm ready to go?
Yeah, certainly. So I do a lot of my training on the road bike. And so I'll be very deliberate about, well, if I decide to go the hardtail, spending a bit more time on the hardtail to get used to training in that position, training wearing the mountain bike shoes because it might be a bit of difference between cleat position between the road bike and the mountain bike, just to refine skills a little bit. But I'll be carefully looking at the profile of the 100 miler and going, ooh, 7 hours and how much vertical meters? So you'll find that my training over the next couple of months, well, not that far away, next few weeks, is going to be a fair bit of hills in preparation for that.
And what about technical trails? Like, that's one of the things about the Wokka. Like, it just doesn't, it's unrelenting, keeps coming at you. How do you go there? Is that part of the picture as well for you, riding the hardtail or the full
season? Yeah, so the reason why I potentially consider the hardtail is to be competitive against the other riders that I'm with. And so if you can look for these slight gains, it's sort of like I might be able to climb faster on the hardtail. It might be a bit more efficient on the climb. But the trails are just so much fun around the redwoods that you want the dually to enjoy it and to be able to get off the brakes and to be able to hit corners hard. So it's a bit of a trade-off. Do you try and make some time up on the uphill or do you preserve your energy by riding and having more fun? Like, depends what your goals are. And so I'm not going over to New Zealand just to destroy myself and go, look, if I can feel my legs at the end of the race, then that was a good race. I want to get to the end of the event and go, that was actually fun. I had some fun on some really cool sections, and that's why I'm sort of a bit, do I want to go and have fun, ride the dually, or do I want to be just absolutely getting belted around, but I might be 5 seconds faster? So it's, you know, tough call. How would you call it, Richard? You've done the mile before.
I would definitely go full suss every day of the week. Like, I think it's a tough event and it's tough on your body. And it's not like the smooth parts, but it's just rooty and just da-da-da-da-da-da. There's a whole lot of that sort of juddering, jarring, and you just whiz across it much easier with the full suspension. But hats off to you if you're going hardtail, that's for sure.
Oh, maybe I should. That sounds like a challenge. I'm always up for one. We'll see.
Mate, Richard, this is incredible, mate. Jason English, 7-time world 24-hour champ, has just asked you for advice.
No,
mate, legend.
Well, I just say coach next to his name, and I'm like, CP, what could that possibly stand for?
Maybe.
You know,
maybe
so
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Do you have a workout that you do on a weekly basis for you, talking training? Like,
I'm pretty regular because I'm at school. I got to leave for work at 7:30, so I'm usually on the bike from sort of close to 5, finishing by 7. We've got a hills ride on a Tuesday. Monday, I'll actually jump on Zwift and do an indoor session so the wife can get out. Wednesday is recovery. Thursday is a few maximal intervals with a few hills tied into it. Friday, I've found team time trial racing on Zwift once again. Wife gets out and I absolutely destroy myself trying to throw up in that on the Friday morning. So I found a few cool workouts like that. And then the weekend, I'll normally go looking for something that's a bit bigger. Like ideally chasing some kind of a race. If it's a 50K club race, I'll try and ride out there, do the club race and ride home. So that ideally getting out to close to that 4 or 5 hours, particularly leading up to this event. We know it's going to be 7 hours. In the ideal, I'm, you know, trying to do those 4 hours each day during the weekend.
Yeah, cool. Do you, like, you obviously work full time, so that's a big job in terms of fitting your training around that and being efficient. Do you have a family as well? Like, what else is going on for you? Just balancing life.
Yeah, certainly. So today, for example, I was on the bike at 5 o'clock, did a little ride in the morning. I was at school by 7, ran a gym session before school. As soon as I get home from school, it's straight into coaching kids. So I was coaching kids up in the bush with our program with, what do we have, 45 kids today, with 10 coaches. So trying to manage that. I'll sneak down here I've still got half an hour left, and then I should be off to the Hunter Academy of Sport to look after those kids for the next hour. So I'm trying to jam a lot into life. I'm also then trying to run a lot of kids events around time that. So, yes. Life's pretty full right now, which not all the family is quite appreciative of, but, you know, the kids like riding, so it's you know, not a complete give up of time.
Yeah, good. Do you have since you do a whole bunch of coaching and things, a tip or two that you'd give to riders, that things that they should be practicing every time they put their helmet on and step over their bike?
Yeah, certainly. So in regards to what I'm thinking about, so I've got I monitor and measure everything I do. And so even my commute to work, I'm going, how much of a training load is this? And so I just want to make sure that the time I'm on the bike is effective and efficient. So I use particular platforms that will give me a rating score. So I know today I'll finish, save my ride and go, oh, hang on, look, you know, I still need to do another half hour. I'll just catch it up tomorrow. so that I'm not just throwing my leg over the bike and go, I'm going for a ride. There's a purpose to that. And so leading up to the Wacker, I might go, look, I want to be doing hills at least 3 times a week. And I know that the next day after doing hills, I'm probably not going to be feeling as good. So I might just do a longer, slower recovery kind of ride, but still look at trying to get that volume in and use it as an opportunity to practice going, look, I'm now using timing. I'm being consistent. Practice using your heart rate monitors, look at pacing yourself and use it as a chance to practice eating and doing nutrition and trying to work out what works for you. I'm also going to be looking at the Wacker 100 like mile course and trying to work out feed zones so I can go, well, how long is it going to take me to do 500 vertical meters and about 30 kilometers between feeds? Is that going to be 2 drink bottles? Is that going to be 1? Will I need to have a camelback? What will I do there? So plenty of things to be considering.
Yeah, cool. Great answer. I want to talk a little bit about expectations. Like a lot of people, this will be their first big event, maybe their first time at this event. And once we start training and we put our name on the start line, it can all get a little bit serious. And especially when you're talking to mates and things like that, I want to beat them, they want to beat me, or they people start talking that actually you're going really well. You should be able to achieve this. Any tips for managing your own expectations and the expectations of others to make sure that you're still actually enjoying yourself on your bike? And often that's a reason we started, but it can become a bit serious.
Yeah, well, sometimes that's why it's a good idea to have a heart rate monitor. So you can just go, look, you know, at the higher intensity, I'm burning more percentage of the carbohydrates that I'm carrying. I'm not going to be able to replace those glycogen stores, and I'm going to blow to smithereens if I go too hard. So for me, I'll do the same. If I'm, you know, chasing the elite boys, I'll look at the heart rate going up a climb and just go, nope, I'm just going to, I know I did the Marathon World Champs last weekend, and I was very careful of, okay, look, I just need to, even though I'm feeling good and I feel like I could, you know, sprint and go a lot harder up the hill, I'm doing 180 beats a minute. I'm just going to keep where it is so that I can save my legs for later on in the race. And so one of the things we always comment about, in particularly in 24-hour and longer races, is it's not always about the fastest lap. The person that does the fastest lap is not usually the person that wins a race. It's the person that does the fastest average lap. So when you're looking at that 100-kilometer or the 100-miler, how are you consistent? How can you pick a pace that you can maintain at the end? Because you want to finish fast. You also want to finish with nothing left in the tank, but you don't want to be just going, I'm groveling home, crawling, walking up everything, crying. Instead, you want to be going, I still feel good at the end of the day. I've saved a little bit in the tank and I'm going to unload in that last 5Ks. Wait, yeah, so the tip is hold your mate, watch him, stalk him, don't let him know he's there potentially, and then just go for it in the last 5Ks. Just go 100%.
Yeah, good. That's a great tip. And I guess what you're saying is have a game plan, have a plan of how you're going to ride. And that's what that heart rate monitor can help you do, just in terms of pacing yourself and just think about what I'm doing for me rather than thinking about everything else that's going on.
And I'd only say heart rate monitor is probably only useful in that first half an hour, because after that, you probably have calmed down, you settled into a rhythm. But it's that first half hour when you're like, oh, I'm going to beat everybody. I've just got to, like, it's just crazy. Yeah. Everyone want to just, you know, prove themselves, get in the position so they don't get held up, but in doing so can, you know, absolutely destroy himself.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, when you're feeling $1 million until you're not. So speaking about the Hurt Locker and putting your body on the line, I mean, that's part of this, isn't it? It's going to be hard, and we do want to do our best. So do you have any tips in terms of how do we get through those tough times mentally? There is always times when you don't want to be there anymore, and obviously with your experience of 24-hour worlds and stuff, that's tough. Like, so you're obviously pretty tough to be able to keep turning up and keep lapping it out and keep pushing at that higher end of what you're capable of.
Yeah, so a big thing for me is that nutrition, and I often call them anger management gels. And so I'll find that, you know, I'll ride with my wife, she'll start crying, and I'll go, okay, we've run out of carbohydrates here, have the gel. She'll be like, I don't want the gel. Give her the gel, and she's like, oh, what a lovely day. Isn't it so nice to be out riding? So don't let yourself get to a stage where you've just depleted those glycogen. Keep on top of the food. Think about where you're going to put the carbs. Are you having the carbs in your gel? Are you having your carbs in the bottle? Are you doing a bit of both? And do you have enough? So I'd certainly be packing more than enough for that. I'd also think about some caffeine in the gel and go, well, you know, when do I save my caffeine gels? Do I save it for 20 kilometers in? Do I save it for 50Ks or do I just go, this is my 200 milligram emergency gel that I'm going to save for that last 10Ks when I'm walking for no reason at all? And so think about, you know, for me, I'm going two gels an hour. If I'm out there for, I'm predicting 7.5, 8 hours, I'll carry somewhere between 16 and 20 gels. And I'm trying to work out how it's going to fit in my pockets. But that's my plan. I'll have 20 there so that I've got more than enough just in case all things turn ugly and it turns into a longer day.
Yeah, yeah. Good job. Good job. Does it help around home?
Certainly. The gel? Yeah. So, no, yeah. I don't feed the gels too much to. Actually, the caffeinated gels work well on the kids if you want to motivate them. No, let's not talk about caffeinated kids.
Okay. Let's move on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What about controlling nerves? Again, talking about mental toughness and enjoying your day out. Standing on the start line can be a pretty tough place. There's lots of loud music. There's lots of excitement, enthusiasm. There's no calming whale music going on. It's all fizzed up. Everyone's looking fast, feeling good. Any recommendations of how to kind of deal with that situation?
Yeah, it really depends on your goals that you're putting there. It's like the only reason that you should be so pumped and so nervous is if you're trying to beat someone to that first single track. And if you're going, look, it's all about me, I'm going to pace myself and I'm going to do my own race, there's nothing to be nervous about. There's nothing that's going to get in your way. But if you are trying to go for it, it's like, yeah, you do have, there's a reason why your heart rate is elevated, and that's to get that blood ready to start pounding around the legs and going for it. So I wouldn't be, you know, terribly opposed to that. But, you know, if it becomes too big an issue, just go, like, why are you stressing out so much? What, you've got a whole 5 hours, 6 hours, 10 hours to sort out positions and to make some plans around that.
Focus on yourself.
You sound like you've got this down pat a wee bit, and so you should.
I looked at my heart rate data from last weekend, and on the start line, like after press go, I was like, oh, I'm only doing 72 beats a minute. Surely I should be a bit more concerned about the race. But I was seriously there with the GoPro 360 going, I'm here to have a bit of fun and zoom around with all these pro guys, and that was my plan. So I had no reason to be particularly, you know, anxious or concerned about results there.
But how often do you go through that? How hard, like, you seem to have this amazing willpower, like to most people, to like Richard, he stands on the line, all calm, collected and whatnot, thinking I'm going to pace myself and this is going to be what it is. But as soon as that flag goes green, he's chasing those guys off the front. How do you stop yourself from doing that? Is that just years?
Well, who you're targeting in that particular situation is the big thing. And so if you're going, right, all I'm doing is beating my mate, all you need to do is look where they are and go, well, that's it. That is my target. I don't need to go any harder than that. And that's where it's useful to, like, if you're starting in ways to go, okay, who's in my category that I actually want to try and stay with, then only set your target as that. Don't set your target as, I'm just going to beat everybody and just go as hard as I can for as long as I can. Pick that person you want to ride with. Pick that person you want to try and go, look, I reckon I've got them covered for the first five, and don't push any harder than that.
Nice. And it's good.
So I can tell you, I shouldn't give too many secrets away, but in the 100 miler, I'm not going first. I guarantee it. I'm not going to go first. I'm not going to set the pace. I'm just going to go and watch the other boys, see what happens, do some spectating and, you know, stay with them. I find I actually ride faster if I'm following people in front, potentially that are going, oh, okay, this drop's coming up. I can now, or this corner's coming up. I can now stop pedaling in preparation for the corner rather than being first where you might be jamming the brakes on because you've overcooked it, for example. And so I actually, yeah, do enjoy sitting back, watching for a bit, and then go, let's see how the race is unfolding. Someone's riding ahead. Okay, I might try and now stay with that person and go from there. Because once again, you go flat out from the start, you're blunder through those glycogen stores and you're not going to have as fun a day. I love to finish strong and feel good about life.
Yeah, good. Keeping it smooth as well. So last question around concentration. It's a long event. You've got to concentrate for a long period of time. We've talked a bit about nutrition, but is there any other tricks that you sort of use to help you stay focused and making sure that you are still concentrating on that downhill in the back half of the event?
Yeah, and so that's why I reckon that caffeine thing towards the end certainly helps, and have that extra gel. A big thing, like I often do, is go, there's only 5 kilometers to go. I don't need this gel. I can get home on that, you know, with 5 kilometers to go. But seriously, if you want to stay focused and be able to stay strong right to the line, it's like, no, there's 5Ks to go. Have that gel. That 5 kilometers could be 20 minutes. Now 20 minutes, it can all go bad from that. So I find I can concentrate well. I can normally stay focused as long as those carbs keep getting topped up. As soon as I let it go, it's, yes, all over Red Rover.
Timmy Boy's been messaging me in the background here, and now I've got this vision in my head of the social media that's about to come out with Jason English in a pair of boxing gloves and Corey Wallace and the Rotorua Forest in behind it. And, you know, you two are both returning to the Rotorua Forest once again. Is this the rematch from 2016? I know we're a few hours short. We're going to be a few hours short, but, you know, you and Corey have been arch rivals or good competitors for a long, long time now, eh?
Yeah, well, I'd say it's going to be a few riders. We're good mates as well. And so, like, I think he'll kind of let me stay with him for a certain period of time just to humour my fitness. And then he might actually go, okay, and this is why I've been doing the altitude and this is why I've been doing my six-hour days. Yeah, I might just wind it up now. But saying that, you know, there's a few big hitters in that 100-miler. He won't let people go. I don't think he's pretty calm and collected. I think he's pretty patient. If you see the way he does 24-hour races, he normally will sit back and just do his own thing right from the start. And so I'll be interested to see what he does in his 100-miler, but I have a strong feeling that he'll be quite relaxed and controlled to start with. If someone goes, he won't let him go, though. So that's, so I'm hoping that no one challenges him early on so that we can all just have a bit of a cruisy one to start with. But when he lights it up, I reckon it'd be game on.
Nice. Good stuff, Jason. Hey, all the best for your last few weeks of build-up. There's not long to go now. Look forward to catching up with you come Waka 100 time and cheering you on out on course.
Yeah, certainly. I look forward to it.
Are you getting over here a few days before? Are you going to get a couple of rides in the forest?
I'm working Thursday, flying out Friday, and planning on being back to work Monday. So I've kind of got this race where I've got to finish the 100-miler by a certain time so I can get changed, get some photos with the boys, and then try and really sort of seek a rally back to the airport, I think. So anyhow, we'll see how that goes. Action packed. Oh, great. I love Rotorua. I'd seriously love to stay longer. I'm trying to get Tim just to move it a little bit earlier to the school holidays next time. I think that'd be a huge win for everyone. But anyhow, really looking forward to coming back to Rotorua.
Good Bloody job. Good. Well done, Jason.
Great to see you. Thanks, Jason.
All right, thank you.
Cheers.
The always energetic Jason there, mate. Like that guy has got so much experience that it's just endless. It's just endless.
Oh, just insane what he's been doing. He's done over the years. But obviously he's got a good like lifestyle that's built around. He's riding his bike at 5 a.m. in the morning. He makes it work by the sounds of it with the life that he has, which is very impressive. So hats off to him. Good on him.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, full-time school teacher, all of those sort of things. So, and this isn't the first time I've heard that he's, you know, disappeared on a Friday, done a big race and been back at work on a Monday type sort of thing. You know,
yeah.
Some of us like to sort of take a 4 or 5 days to get through that, you know.
Yep.
Mate, a few things. How was mountain biking in China, just out of interest? Giving you any practice for the Waka?
There's little bits. It was probably not as much mountain biking as I was hoping for, to be honest. There was one single track section, actually, that there was a wild horse come across that was running up the trail in front of us. It was pretty interesting. I was just behind another team, which I wasn't upset about at that moment, as this horse is kicking around and charging around. But, there was actually a fair bit of road riding in the race that I did the other week in China. But, awesome to go and ride your bike somewhere else and experience what that's about. So, probably not as much single track as I hope, but definitely plenty of suffering on the bike, that's for sure.
Yeah. Look, just before we get to Tomo, a few other things just going on we want to make mention of. One, I want to congratulate the Waka 100 for actually they were awarded number one, the best NZ mountain bike event of the year for last year. Absolute amazing, up against every mountain bike race that there is in our country, and they were voted number one. That's why you're all here listening, because you want to be a part of the best mountain bike race in the country. But also, because it's so popular, what's happening is a few of you are trying to come from all around the country, and there's some 300 odd or something trying to come out of the South Island or come out of Canterbury, and we know Air New Zealand have got a problem. We mentioned this at the last podcast, but it's now absolutely confirmed. You should have been sent an email where you can book, if you want, a bike transfer from Christchurch to Rotorua. You just need to click that link, book it in. There's a few conditions along the way, that some labelling and things you need to fill out, and some timings where you need to have your bike dropped off to the drop-off point at each end from Rotorua, from Christchurch, to get it there and then in return. But at the end of the day, your bike will travel to the Rotorua airport, so that when you walk off the plane, you'll be able to collect your bike, and then you can actually return it back to the airport when you're done, and fly home and not have to worry about it getting left out on the tarmac.
Yeah, that's and that I'd recommend 100% for everybody that's flying out of the South Island. Do that. Don't back yourself in terms of the airline will get it there, because I mean, it's happened time and time again that I don't have a bike to ride. What am I going to do? And that's really stressful. So definitely get on the back of that and just take that out of the picture, knowing that your bike's going to get there in one piece.
Yep, your bike's going to be on that service.
It will, yes, absolutely. Yep. And the whole family's coming up. So Bella's got her bike booked in there as well. So we're going to make sure we get those bikes on there as well.
Yeah, how good. Well, that'll take the pain out of all of that. Moving on. Oh, actually, no, let's just carry on here just with the words of wisdom in the middle of here. But again, a big thanks to tonight's episode supporter, Isuzu Utes, who have, and I've just done a bit of Googling in the background too, which I should have done earlier, mate, but they are offering up Isuzu Utes WOC 100 are providing two lucky listeners an entry for two. So that's two prizes of two to the Wairiki, and I'm hoping I'm getting that right. Tomo will no doubt correct us in the next section. Spring and Spa for a restorative journey package. So once you've done your 100 mile, 150, whatever it is, you've got a bit of mud on your face and you need a bit of pampering, this is what you need to win. So jump on our chat here, send us a comment, send us a message, tell us you love the Waka 100 and go in the draw to win that.
Perfect. Well done, Angus. You're going to put your name on the list? Just in case.
Hey, extra entry. Jeez, yes. Yeah, look, I'm
need some pampering.
I always need some pampering, that's for sure. After spending a weekend with you up there, I'm sure I'm going to need some pampering, mate.
That's well said. Nice work. So let's bring on Tom on. Tomo, shall we? He's sitting in the background there. He's he does a great job sharing his journey and his all his adventures that he does out and about, and also being a great, as you mentioned, advocates of sharing what some of the trail names are about as well, and sharing that on his YouTube channel. How are you getting on, Tomo?
Yeah, good. Thanks, guys. I will apologize for the audio and it might be a little bit of a delay, but thank you so much, Angus and Richard, for having me on your platform. So it's really cool to be here again. Thank you.
Yeah, so good. So just for listeners who haven't heard from you or haven't come across you before, tell us a little bit about your background. How long you've been riding your bike? What do you do sort of week by week? Tell us a bit more about yourself.
A little bit more about myself. So a lot of my friends already know, but hey, look, guys, I actually had some notes right here, you know, like I got myself already. But to be honest, I have been riding for, about 5 to 6 years. So not very long in the game. I started very late, you know, like late 30s and whatnot. And pretty much I was doing a lot of, I would say, personal training type stuff. And I was doing a lot of body weight, calisthenics, gymnastics. And I got to a point where I was like, man, this stuff is really sort of hurting me. And I was looking for another thing to do. And mountain biking happened to be the thing. And so it turned out to be that I was sort of in town and I was around this bike store. I was like, oh, hey, man, that looks like something I could get into. And then I pretty much bought my bike on my 38th birthday, my very first bike. And that's pretty much how it started.
Yeah. Yeah, good. And haven't looked back, just enjoy riding your bike now.
Oh, absolutely. It was a hard slog, you know. Like I remember when I first started riding, I had to stop after 5Ks and walk. And then it was from that point, it was like I just wanted to get better at it. So it was more about like getting fitter and fitter and fitter, but not necessarily trying to work on skills. And then I got to a point where it's like, man, I'm getting faster, I'm getting fitter, but I'm not really improving as much. And it just slowly evolved from that point. And man, riding bikes is so cool, eh? It is so good.
So good. It's that's a real great. Happy place, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Write that down.
It's so good.
Yeah. Good job. So last year you rode the 50, and then on the Saturday, and then supported a friend riding the 25K also. So what's your plan for 2023? Are we going to upgrade for another 25Ks and call it 100?
Oh man, Funny you should say that, guys, because yeah, like I rode the 50 because that was definitely on the cards, and the 25 was, and I'm not gonna lie, it was definitely about supporting the boys, but I also wanted to grab some content for the channel and just sort of kind of lead in with everybody else who had never done a 25 before to sort of get the POV experience of what it's like to do your first 25. Now, okay. When I did that, those videos, it was literally about sharing my experience. And so coming into this year's Waka, I'm thinking, well, I'm not a long distance guy. I like the short stuff. So I'm definitely going to be doing the 25 again, but I want to volunteer my time for the 50 as a way to say, you know, a little bit of aroha, a little bit of give back to Tim and the entire crew and just the event, and hopefully meet some other people and just say, look, hey, I've had such a good time since 2020. I want to be a presence there on the ground and say, look, thank you so much for everything that sort of happened in my life in terms of mountain biking for the event, because it really has been that way for me, and just to give back in some way, shape, or form. And the 25, I think, is good enough in that regard. And it's it's really the entry, you know, the entry level to where people start from.
Yeah, good job. Well done. That's fantastic. So so the 25 is the one you're going to go for. Are you going to give it heaps, or are you going to be supporting and encouraging others?
Yes, I'll actually try. You know, because I'm not a very competitive person in that regard. And to answer your previous point, the 100 has not been something that I've been emotionally invested in. And I know that the bro Annie, who's been, I've been messaging on the socials, she'd go, oh, you should do the 100. I'm like, nah, gee, nah, that's not me. The 25 is nice, short, and sharp. And I think I think I'm better in that space, you know, very dangerous over short distances, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think we can all relate to that. You'd be able to relate to that as well, Angus. Dangerous over short distance.
Very dangerous over short distance.
Very dangerous, yes. We're lethal over the short stuff.
Yeah. Impact players is what I like to call us.
Okay, there we are. Yeah, good.
Love it.
So how's the training been going? What's the best training ride that you've done, and why?
I'm so glad you asked me this question, because I've got an answer for it. I know that at the end of the previous Waka with the 50, and I kind of realized that, man, I was falling a little bit short. I was flagging, like, I can pull a 50 out of my bum on any given day, but I realized that, man, if I was ever going to do a 50 again, I kind of really needed to do some actual stuff. So I want to give a big shout out to my bro John Humphrey, who was actually with me in the very first Waka that we did back in 2020. He invited me down to Wellington. So if you're not from that area, it might be sort of a bit hard to understand, but he invited me down to his area to actually ride. And one of the best things about that particular training ride, because it was a training ride, not just a, hey man, we're just going to bomb down some hills, was that it ticked up all the requirements for the Waka. So we hit all the elevation requirements. We hit all pretty much close to the distance requirements, but beyond that, it was the fact that I got to ride with one of my best mountain biking friends, and we were heading out from, I think it's Old Fiddle Bay, going out to Te Oro Valley, and we're heading out to this place called Red Rocks. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but if you can picture this, is that we're riding out towards the coast, Red Rocks coast. You've got this massive expanse of both trail, native bush, and you've got this ocean that just stretches out for days. And I was thinking to myself, as I was suffering going up some of the hideous climbs that he made us do twice, that I was thinking, man, this is what it's all about. This is the training that we're getting to do. And I was just like, man, I'm so thankful and grateful that I get to actually be here with him doing this kind of training. And it was less about the suffering and more about, man, I'm just so lucky I get to ride my bike and do all this. So when we jumped to the Waka, it was easy. It was like really good. And thanks to John, you know, and that those sort of training rides, I was more than ample prepared, both in heart, soul, body, mind, and all the rest of it.
Yeah, good. Gives you great confidence, doesn't it, if you've done something like that, that's hard, that you can turn up and know that race day is more about a celebration of all the stuff you've done, opposed to, oh my God, am I actually going to survive this? Speaking of Rotorua and speaking of the trails and things, what's your favorite trail and why?
Okay, so if we're only talking about the trails that feature on course, and right. I would liken that to 20 to 25 and the 50, probably not so much the 100 and the miler. I'll only speak to the 25 and the 50, and I would say that would be split ends, because once you get all that climbing out of the way, as it were, you're up on Moana, and you may go up past up the climb to Tutiata, and then you get into the loveliness that is, you know, frontal, and then you go along, if you don't have to, Tumeke. Once you get into Underbilly, and then you start heading towards up towards bloody split ends is the one. And from that point down, my friends, that's just like, you know, that's all down from there. And from there, you just like flick open the NOS valve and you just go. And I tell you what, it's exhilarating. And like all the cramp I get to that point is gone. It's like, I do not care about no cramp. I do not care about the fact that I'm sore. I'm just going to go so hard that when I get to the bottom, you know, like when you get into Oh my gosh! I forget what the bottom is, but you know, it's like, it's so good to just go so hard, so fast, and like it was so worth it. And then you get to Old Chevy and you're like, yeah, regrets. Yeah,
still got a bit to do. Yeah, that's right. So this episode's all about mental skills. That's one thing we're sort of trying to sort of focus on. With that in mind, do you have any advice for first timers standing on that start line and lining up for their first go at this?
Yes, absolutely. When I first started off, it was about getting real with expectations. So if you are coming into it, you need to get very real about expectations. And I remember doing a video a little while ago, and that was, even you guys might have heard me say it, is about competing or completing. So very two differentiations right there. So if you are competing, you're generally going to be in the racer's mindset. Yeah. So you'll generally have a plan that you're going to execute. So you already know what your feeding is going to be, how you're going to pace, the training you've been doing. But if you're not that way inclined, more so like myself, it's about completing the day. So I believe that once you've got that sussed, you'll then fall into this sort of space where you go, right, if I'm just going to be completing it, then I don't need to have the pressure of racing. But if I'm a racer, then that's very different. So I guess the thing for a new person is understand where you sit on that slider. So if over here is competing and over here is completing, you'll fall along that spectrum. And then you just, once you identify that, you'll either have a little bit of pressure or no pressure to actually get the event done. And it makes it so much easier once you're in the event itself, because for a lot of people, I would say a lot of us who roll up into these events, we're not there to podium. We're there to have a good time and have a good experience. Mm-hmm. And that's predicated on your mindset before you start, is where do I sit? Am I a racer or am I someone who is there to have a good time, to complete the event and to show up at the end? I think is kind of the thing.
Because it's okay to stop at the top of the hill and take a view and have a muesli bar and have a drink and things before, and get yourself sorted before you hit that downhill. You don't absolutely. Have to ride a whole lot without stopping.
Yeah.
And like, that's exactly what you're saying, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, when I'll tell you what, guys, and I have no shame. When I rode the 50 for the first time, I think I was with six people, and I treated like, I'd say to people, treat it like a big day out, you know, like treat it like you're just going out for a ride. We had, I'll tell you what, we got to the end of Piglet, we had like a 25-minute break, you know, and like, we're only like not even half an hour into the event, and like, we still finished on time, so,
yeah.
And people go, really, you had a 25-minute break? Hell yeah, I had a 25-minute break, because I wanted to get all the photos, I wanted to capture the moments, and so for me, that's you know, like, I'm not a racer, but I still managed to do the event in that regard, so that was my sort of thing going in, but obviously that people aren't like that, but you don't have to be. So it just sort of allows people the opportunity to go, well, you know, as long as I understand the time bar that's there and the distance that I have to achieve, it's very possible to complete, and you can have all this time. You know, it's so much fun. Just enjoy the day.
Good job. That's great advice, Tobo. That's absolutely fantastic. Hey, thank you so much for joining us today. I look forward to catching up with you when we get to Rotorua in a few weeks' time, and all the best with riding your bike and getting it all sorted and having an awesome day out.
Oh, thank you so much, guys. I do really appreciate you letting me be on the platform, and I hope to be on again. And all the best for future podcasts. Cheers.
Good job. Well done.
Thanks, mate. Never forget, riding bikes is so cool.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Good job. Hey, mate, dangerous over a short distance. So good.
I've got a bit of a problem brewing over here, mate.
Yeah.
What an episode. So much fizz. Jason English, so excitable. Tomo there fizzing. I'm starting to think, mate, what am I doing? And also, there's two other things going through my brain. One is hashtag off the couch.
I like that. That's good.
What can we do off the couch?
What could possibly go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong? Well, when you think about what can go wrong, that's what I'm scared of, is that pretty much my brain's going to write a check that my legs can't cash. That's what's really worrying me, probably. Mate.
Yeah, good. Dangerous over a short distance, I think. It's good. Riding bikes is awesome. So, I think you just need to turn up.
Maybe a middle distance. What do you reckon?
Well, that's right. Exactly. Distance? It doesn't matter to have a 25-minute break, sit down, have a sandwich, and then carry on.
I don't actually know I could do that. I'm normally one of those people that just really needs to keep moving. I could go back and do a third 50, maybe. I mean, I've done two 50s already. I did them with you. We did the 100, but actually we raced the first 50 and then survived the second 50, basically.
Exactly. So maybe just do that first 50 again without the race.
Correct.
Good.
Off the couch. Perfect. Here we go.
Look out, everybody. I'm just waiting for Tim's entry to code on the chat to come through.
Get the medic tent ready. That's probably what we're
going to
need.
Health and safety bills just got bigger.
Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely right. Right. Our last guest, another Australian, as I mentioned, from the bottom of Australia, Tasmania, our Tasmanian devil, Scott Bowden. Come on in, mate.
Thanks for having me, guys.
That's it. The world can hear you now.
Yeah, we'll get there eventually. We're a little bit, at least I am a little bit technically inept, so.
No, you're doing well, but you know how to ride a bike. Just a quick intro for those that haven't sort of heard. You were a professional cyclist until 2021. Rode the road race and cross country race in the 2016 Summer Olympics, representing Australia, lining up for the elite 100K race, and recently placed fourth at the Aussie National. So obviously you can still ride a bike pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, my approach has completely changed now. I train a half to maybe a third of what I used to. So I've had to change my approach to training completely. And you can come unstuck a little bit in these longer events. Obviously, I think the last year's winner, Ben Oliver, the winning time was 5 hours. I can't remember the last time I rode 5 hours, actually. But thankfully, I've ridden 5 hours plenty of times in my life. So there's kind of that thing of muscle memory that's still there, I think.
Would you agree with that, Angus? Does muscle memory hang around, like for your 50K that you're going to turn up for?
Well, I'm not sure yet. No, but it actually does, doesn't it, really, to be fair? Like, I did actually ride a bike in the weekend. I was quite proud of myself to actually go and ride a bike in the weekend. But muscle memory does, and all those thought patterns do too. You know, once you actually get on the bike and you hit a trail and all those same thought patterns that you used to always just, you know, you were going a bit quicker perhaps or whatever, but all of those things do come flooding back, and all of a sudden you're just back in that groove again.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest thing though, you cannot, you know, be slack with nutrition and fueling. You have to be so onto that. And I mean, there's still an element of, you know, in the ideal world, you would at least, I mean, I'm trained to the distance you're going to be racing or even a little bit beyond. But I've still got a few weeks, and I'm going to try and get in one or two, 5 hour days on the mountain bike. I think actually also just being able to concentrate for 5 hours, on the mountain bike is a big thing. It's a lot different to doing 5 hours on the road, where it's really just physiologically being able to do it and push for that long. It's actually, I think mountain bike marathon races, they're not won in the first 50K. They're won in that sort of back third. So it's getting to that point in the race and still being able to react and dig deep and, you know, race fast on the trails.
Yeah, good job. Have you ridden the Wacker before, or is this your debut?
Debut, yeah, first time. Cool. So it's been on the bucket list for a long time. I've sort of, yeah, like followed it each year, seeing it pop up in the socials, the results and that sort of thing. So I'm happy. That's a good thing now. I can sort of pick and choose what events I go to, and over with a mate, Reese Tucknot. I think there's going to be a few Aussies coming over, so it should be a really good weekend.
Nice. What are you most looking forward to?
The trails. Yeah, I've never been to Rotorua. I've been to the North Island before, but to race on the road. So it's always nice to go somewhere new in general, with the mountain bike even better. And I think, you know, Rotorua was kicking off, I don't even know how long ago, I guess around the time I probably got into mountain biking. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to going there and riding on the trails. I think that could be, I'd say that'd be my weakest link in the race, is that I'll be going in blind. You know, guys like the Oliver brothers have, these trails quite well, even though they're not from the North Island. I'm sure they've ridden there and raced plenty of times before. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how my skills actually are. But it should be good.
Great way to explore the forest. Just be sent there. Don't have to look at any maps or anything like that. Just go and ride hard and ride what's in front of you.
That's it. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good job. So Wacker's a big day out. Do you have any tips about staying positive? This is specifically for Angus, this question, especially when the day is not particularly going to plan, when your bottom lip's starting to drag on the ground.
I mean, like, you can only control the controllables. So I actually think as well, a really good thing, and I still do it, particularly for mountain bike races, because I actually had from 2016 until the start of this year, I didn't do a mountain bike race. So like 7 years without doing a mountain bike race at all, period. Just the way it worked out. It wasn't planned or anything, but because I was focusing on road racing. And yeah, visualization, like, someone like Angus that's done it before could do that quite well, because you'd be familiar with the layout of the lay of the land, the start finish area. But like, yeah, I try and plan the night before the race, or even the day or two before, what time I'm going to wake up, what time I'm going to have breakfast, have the tire pressures pumped up above what I'm going to run them the night before. So in the morning I can just let them down to the pressure I want to run, make things as seamless as possible up to the start line.
Yeah.
Know what time the feed zone collection, like the feed zone drop, closes, so that you're there within plenty of time, and know where that is if you can. So visiting the event area the day before, just so that you have a little less cognitive overload in the morning. Obviously there is, you turn up to an event like that, there's a bit of hype around it, which is great. But when you're about to set off for, you know, whether it's two, depending on the distance, I guess around 2 to 8 hours or more, you don't want to be getting unnecessarily hyped up at the start of that. You want to be trying to keep things cool. So, I think that sort of sets you up to have a good day out. And then, but also like in that mental rehearsal practice, what could go wrong in your head, and having those contingency plans there ready to go. Like, yeah, carrying extra gels, you know, having all the spares you need. Like, I'm not sure. I might actually carry two spare tubes. I'll definitely carry a CO2 in my back pocket. A CO2. I'll just use a saddlebag. It's better than using a strap or something, because I've been in races before where you go to grab it and it started, you know, your tube's halfway into your back wheel or something. Saddlebag with also tire levers. Like, you want to, even if you can get them off without them, like, I think they're just handy there to have there. They don't weigh much. Spare chain link, multi-tool, and obviously some tire plugs, which are a brilliant invention that I've come to learn how to use. They weren't a thing 7 years ago. So
yeah, awesome. So basically what you're saying is have a plan. So the better prepared you are, the less likely for your bottom lip to hit the ground.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. Okay. Yeah.
Does an uppercut Is that what Angus should be looking at though? Like if he is crying, there's tears there, all that stuff, that preparation has happened, he's done as best as he could, but he's still in tears. Does he just need to give himself an uppercut though?
No, I think it's just a deep breath. You know, you're still okay. in a pretty beautiful part of the world. There's still lots of good trails to come. You know, maybe you just have to recalibrate, reset your goals a little bit.
Great. It's great.
We have talked about this. We have talked about this before, Richard, on one of our Waka podcasts. But that year we did it as a team, 100 as a team in the lead up to the Pioneer and things and whatnot. Yep. And we raced the first 50 and then I suffered the second 50. I do recall getting to the finish. I do recall you riding away from me when I was starting to say, I don't want to go up anymore and I don't want to go down anymore and I just don't want to be here. And there wasn't said probably in that tone. There was probably a few other words going on there. And you rode off because I think you were sick of listening to me.
That's right. I think it's better to just sort of carry on.
Using those words. And I remember we got to the finish line and then you said, hey, but do you know what? When you started using those words, we actually went faster. Like our pace actually picked up once you started.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm still sticking to the old uppercut and the few dirty words. There's something in that.
Yeah, good job. Good job. No, that's awesome.
Maybe it's just that my teammate was riding away from me.
Exactly. Swearing and cursing. Stupid bike riding. No, that's awesome. Being able to recover on a descent is really important, and especially for Waka, and it is technical on the descent as well. Is there any tips you give riders based on your experience about, I guess, making sure that you're good for the next climb?
Yeah, I think this is something I've had to almost relearn or refresh myself on is in mountain bike racing. Like in road racing, I'd never look at my heart rate. I'm not really thinking about it. If anything, you're just looking, the only metric would be power. But in a mountain bike race, I don't look at my heart rate. I'm not looking down at my computer at any point other than maybe trying to gauge how many hours in we are or the distance and when's the next feed zone. But when you get to the top of the climb, and you start descending, you have to try and recover and like actually focusing on trying to get your heart rate down. And like part of that is also it goes hand in hand with good descending skills, like nailing the basics, keeping your head up, looking through the corners where you want to go. Mm. Because when you've got your head up, you're also opening your airway more, allowing more oxygen to get in. Just settling into the rhythm of the trail. I mean, that's easier said than done. By the looks, there's plenty of roots and rocks and everything on the trails in Rotorua, but and also if there are smoother parts or a bit of flat broken up in the descents, that's really the time to make the most of that and try and grab a gel, grab a swig of the bottle. Mm-hmm. So that you're also staying on top of the carb intake, ready to go again for the next climb.
Nice. So what you're saying is nutrition, but also smiling on the downhill, and then you're probably recovering at the same time. Rather than grimacing and struggling on the downhill.
Yeah, there's studies done as well about smiling. That's actually a good point. Like if you're smiling and receiving or even observing like positive stimulus, you actually perform better in either like in when you're exerting yourself. So yeah, remember to smile out there. You'll go faster. Yeah.
There you go, Angus. Write that one down.
I'm just learning, and I'll share all shortly. But I'm just learning on a podcast. You keep your mouth shut, and you don't say anything. And I'll show you why.
You got to fizzed up early, and then he has to do it now. That's so good. Let's talk a little bit about goal setting. So, I mean, it's a pretty powerful tool in terms of any endurance event. But how do you use goal setting to make sure that you give yourself the best possible day out there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm like massive on goal setting. It's like a constant thing. I have them for every year even now I'm not racing. I don't take, it's not my be all end all. I still set goals for an event like this. I'm not a full-time bike rider or anything like that, but the competitive side of me is still very much there. And, when I found out I was doing this event, immediately it becomes a goal that I look forward to, that I'm working towards. My training's focused around that. I'm thinking of it when I'm out on the bike. And all that sort of thing. But then as it comes closer to the race, goals kind of tie in with the preparation of like, have you got your bike serviced? Is it running spot on? Is the gearing you've got appropriate for the course? What tires are you going to run? And it kind of links with that planning and like your fueling strategy. And then because the goals for the day, you can only control what you control. So like, what can I control? I can control the setup of my bike before the race. So tire pressures, fork pressure, tire choice, making sure it's running really well. I can control how much fuel I'm getting in an hour. And for me, that's going to be on the upper end, like 120 grams of carbs an hour. And then that becomes my focus in the race, making sure I'm ticking that. That is a goal every hour, getting in 120 grams, knowing where the feed zones are. And then my goal is actually just, they're like micro goals, but to pick up, you know, I'll probably start the race with a hydration vest, and I'll probably like a camel, you know, camelback or something. And then I'll probably drop that off and grab another one halfway through the race, as well as potentially having a bottle or two on my bike. So yeah, like goal setting is super important, and I think it helps you. Yeah, it just helps you prepare better on race day.
That's right. And focus on you again, just coming back to that, isn't it? I'm doing like that. That's been a real theme across this podcast, is just focus on your own self and what you're doing and the process of how you're doing it now. And then you'll probably be going okay.
100%. I mean, the worst thing as well, I think it's great to race against your mates and want to beat certain people, but you don't know how much training they've been doing. They might have left their job for the 3 months leading into this. Like, you just got to nail what you can get done before that event to prepare the best you can. Like, I mean, for me, I'd love to go there and try and win. I think every race I try and win, but I also have respect for the event and my competitors. Like, it's an absolute beast of an event. There's going to be lots of top riders there. It's the New Zealand, the 100K is the New Zealand marathon champs, and guys like Ben and Craig Oliver, Cameron Jones. Then a couple of Aussies like Reese Tuck not coming over. I don't know what they've been doing. So, I'll try and put myself in a position to win. And really, I'm just looking forward to the opportunity to race those guys. The Kiwis, like the Oliver brothers, I haven't raced since 2015 or 16 at World Cups in Europe. So it should be a good fun. We've had plenty of battles over the years. So no, I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, so good. And at the end of the day, as long as you can stand on the finish line and go, I did my best I possibly could out there, you've got to be happy with that.
Oh, 100%. Like I say, a goal might be to win or get on the podium, but like actually at the end of the day, it's just get there and get the best out of myself on the day, whatever that is. I might have great legs or I might not. And if I don't, well, then like so be it. I'll still find a way to get the best out of myself. I just want to get to the finish line completely empty, knowing I've executed all those little micro goals along the way. I mean, the outcome kind of takes care of itself. So, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, so good. That's awesome, Scott. So just to finish up, Angus, have you got any questions for Scott now that you've entered the 50K event?
Mate, is that what we're saying? I've just been sent this, and be careful what you wish for. That is one Angus Petrie in the 50K event. I don't know. I'm not sure, but I didn't know that in New Zealand. I mean, I've Googled myself before and know that there is other Angus Petries around the world, but clearly there's potentially there's a doppelganger here.
There's one on the start. Does that say it's in the 50 age category? What age category is it?
50 plus? Probably does, mate. You want to look out. You better be on your top game, mate. Wave number one, 8:40 start by the looks of that.
Okay, right. Look at that.
Where are you, mate? Where are you starting?
I'm not sure. Hopefully I'll just start. Well, as I've learned before from Jason earlier, so I just need to ride just behind you. Just mark you to the last 5Ks.
Scott's going to tell us how it's all about the whole shot.
Well, I think if I've been training more, then yeah, I would race it like that. I would race it super aggressive and have it just like complete mano a mano, like strongest guy wins, go all in from the start. But I can tell you right now, I will not be racing like that. I also don't know the trail, so it'd be kind of foolish for me to whole shot into the single track only to, you know, overshoot the first corner or something. And I'm now a little bit worried. I hope I can pre-ride that creek jump at the end, because
you mean this one?
Oh, there we go.
I mean, look, Scott Legend, mate, I've been looking for an excuse to roll this out all night long. If you're listening to this as a podcast, actually, I should just clarify, if you're listening to this as a podcast, we did just get sent an entry, a picture of the entry list, which must have been Photoshopped, because somehow there's my name on there with a 50K. So I'm only assuming Tim's been playing games and Photoshopping, and now we're looking at that ever impressive creek lack of jump from Richard Greer as he takes a drink there.
I think you should
give us an intro there, Scott. You know, you're good at you're good at this game. You'll be back here, I tell you.
I think if I remember rightly, I was getting a bit bored. I was waiting for Angus. It's like, what can I do to sort of just hang out? It's getting a bit hot, so I'll just go and sit down in the creek for a little while until he turns up.
That's good chat, Rich.
Hey Scott, hey, thank you so much for joining us. Really looking forward to catching up with you and cheering you on come Waka 100 time in a few weeks time, but all the best for the last preparations and go in full send mode when we come to October.
Yeah, don't worry, I will. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, thanks heaps, Angus and Richard. I'll see you guys over there.
We sure will. Be bloody great. Thanks, Scott. Yep.
Yeah. Well done, Scott. Cheers. Take care, keep in touch. See ya.
What are you doing there, mate? You got a thumbs up. You're frozen on me right at the end. What have you done? There you go.
I'm still here. But I feel like this podcast has got out of hand a little bit.
Terribly out of hand. There'll be definitely some editing of this podcast for sure. This can't be live. Tell me we're not live.
Surely it's not live.
Tell me there's time for us to edit some serious bits out of this.
Yeah.
I know. Look, another fabulous Waka 100 event episode. And as I mentioned before, voted New Zealand mountain bikes number one event for last year. Absolutely great that they managed to take that away, and well deserved. It is such an event. It's an atmosphere. They go to a lot of effort to put on a world class event for us all.
Absolutely. And a great big thank you to Isuzu New Zealand for helping to bring this podcast to us as well. What's that that prize that we could win, Angus?
No prizes now, because Isuzu have kindly given me, for entering the 50K event there, a nice little spa package. No jokes. For all those that have commented, and if you are listening to this as a podcast or watching this just over the next week or two, there is time still to drop a comment on our Facebook page. You'll send us a message to get in the draw we're going to give away. Two lucky listeners are going to win an entry for two. Yes, Duck and Mouse, that could be you if you're lucky enough to be drawn out of this, to the Wairiki Hot Springs and Spa for Restorative Journey Package worth $220. A huge thank you to Isuzu Utes New Zealand for sponsoring that, but also for being the title sponsor for the Waka 100.
Good job. Hey, well done, Angus. A fantastic show, and look forward to seeing some more training rides pop up on Strava from you in the next little while.
Hashtag off the couch, mate. I'm just going to watch World Cups on the television. It's going to be my training.
Okay, good. You know how to do it. You know how to hurt. Yeah, I like it. Until we don't.
That's dead right. That's right. Hey, look, just two final things before we go. Really important things. Don't forget about the bike transfer. If you are in Christchurch or in the Canterbury area, you want to use this bike transfer service, book it now, get involved with it. And so you also understand the timings of how that works. So get onto that now. We are only a month out from that. And also, the most important thing to remember, the best quote from the night, probably maybe the best quote from the series, Richard, do you know what it is? It's riding bikes is so cool.
I thought it was dangerous over a short distance.
Well, it could have been that too. Riding bikes is so cool, my friend. Come on now.
Absolutely. Hey, no, that's fantastic. If anyone wants a hand with any last minute preparations, Team CP, that's what we do from a mountain bike perspective. So get in touch if you've got any questions along those lines. But all the best for your training. We've got another podcast lined up before race day. And stay safe. Enjoy riding your bike. And we'll catch up in a few weeks' time.
Thank you all for joining us. See you next time.
You've been listening to the Waka 100 podcast, brought to you by Team CP.
Skull, 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 skull. So much fun, lots of camaraderie and lots of laughs.
If you dig the show, make sure to like, rate, and review.